welcoming us all for this fourth full day, and also last full day of this retreat. And I would like to guide a meditation in a bit, but first, there's been some questions that people have asked in notes that I could respond to, that it would probably be helpful for everybody. Come in. Door is open. It would probably be helpful for everybody. So one was somebody speaking about swallowing, not being able to prevent themselves from swallowing loudly, and being worried about disturbing other people, and then noticing that other people were doing it, and being worried about that, if it was like spreading or something. And I think what's important to emphasize in the group is that we're trying to be quiet, because we're all trying to go into some stillness and to plug into that group stillness. But if there's something you can't help, it's okay as well. So it's a two-way thing. So on one side, we're trying to all sink into a stillness pool, lake or something together, and to be one. And at the same time, we can really practice with the other sounds around us. It's part of meditation. It is meditation. We've been practicing with the senses, especially hearing. So meeting that sound, somebody's coughing, breathing loudly, doing whatever next to you. It's like in the hearing is the heard only. You can just receive it as sound coming in. How does it meet? That sense impression of the sound coming in, contact, what sensation does it bring, and how I react to that sensation. And Ajahn Chah, this Thai monk, he used to say, when people would complain about somebody being loud, or there being like some building work outside the meditation room, some loud sounds, and he would say, well, is the sound disturbing you, or are you disturbing the sound? Like, just let it be, it's sound, it's sense impressions coming in, let it be. We don't need to get personally involved with that. And like I was saying with this friend who's very reactive about a smell of something, and he does this melodrama. It's a little bit the same, how much we might react with sound. And I know we have different dispositions. So some traumas might make some people more sensitive to sound. And then that's also, it's knowing our own baggage, And going, well, I'm really sensitive with sound, so I need to look after that a bit, my sensitivity, without going over the edge into full-blown kind of, it's dragging me crazy. It can still be worked on a bit. So it's a kind of mix, of it is our responsibility and it isn't, And it's a two-way thing of trying to be quiet, but also accepting the sounds of other human beings and our surroundings, My first silent retreat, I was really worried before to do 5 days without speaking, years ago. And then they decided to do some building work just outside the meditation room for a week with big machines. And so the teacher was guiding us into working with that all week, with just accepting this vibration instead of the irritation. It was before the irritation comes. There's just the vibration. I hope that's helpful. Somebody else wrote very small handwriting. So basically the question is, in what other ways than thinking words could I show myself self-accepting awareness? So I would say to come back to these meditations we've been doing all week in the body, that naturally in our bodies there is self-accepting awareness. And that's what we've been going towards all week, hey? Just to find that in us. The gentleness, the love, actually, that is in ourselves. So it may not be, maybe that's too big a word for you, like love in me, in myself. Where are my cells? You know, maybe that's too much. But even just a little whiff, a little whisper of gentleness in feeling into how sensuous our bodies are. But they're not made from something like this, you know, something hard and dense. Or they're not made from plastic or something. There isn't that rigidity in our bodies, no? Even our bones are soft on the inside, and they're made from like molecules, you know? Everything is breathing, everything is soft inside us, actually. And to connect with that softness, to be able to feel our own natural kindness in that softness. And finding our own softness leads us to some self-acceptance. Or just acceptance, too cool. And as I was saying to someone maybe the day before yesterday, when I was in South Africa, I was managing a Buddhist retreat place in the hills in the Zulu part of South Africa. And one day I asked somebody, a Zulu person, how do you say patience in Zulu? And they said this word, begazela. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I wasn't sure, I wanted to check it. So I asked another person, you know, like in a shop, said, what does begazela mean? And they said, oh, acceptance. You know, so I could see that already in Zulu, patience, acceptance, same thing. And then I asked another person at the supermarket, hey, what does begazela mean? And they said, it means look sleepy. So like when we're not in an accepting state, when we're not being patient, we're kind of like this. Like too much coffee, no? And the more accepting is the more soft face, soft eyes, soft body, you know? So to have some begazela with finding our own kindness in ourselves, you know? Even that process, we need some patience, some acceptance to find our own kindness in our own hearts, in our bodies, in our soft, sensuous human bodies. There is kindness. There is softness. And all our lives, we're going to be walking around with this body here. Because it's when the body's over, as far as we know, it's over. We don't know what happens after. That's another story, hey. Is that we don't know. But more or less, you know. So we've always got our body with us, hey. We've always got this. We don't leave it behind. And so we've always got a sanctuary, a refuge, a place to anchor, to find softness. And then it's also good to know what our relationship is to having this body, you know? And if there's difficulties in coming into your bodies, that's something definitely to come and talk with me about. We can try to find some skillful ways to do that. For some people, it's just, I can't go inside. I can't do it because of some stuff that's happened or whatever. And that's, there are different approaches, you know, different skillful ways. But it's there for all of us, okay? Because we all have a body, two arms, legs, eyes, ears, all that, brain. So the other question was, how could you describe a bit in detail how to use sleepiness as a tool? So yesterday I was speaking about the obstacles and how they can be used as tools. But it's not so much that the obstacle itself is a tool. It's the awareness of it that's the tool. So it's not that desire and aversion in itself is the tool, or the agitation or lethargy, i.e. sleepiness or doubt in itself is the tool. It's our awareness of normally why it's coming up, why we're having this, the causes, to look, investigate and look into the causes of one of these obstacles, and to get to know what the obstacles feel like inside us, so that we know when they're there, so that we can investigate. But it's not sleepiness itself. So especially with sleepiness, there's often, sometimes we want out, you know. There's something we may not want to face, we may not want to deal with. And then we keep falling asleep in meditation or have a very dull, cloudy meditation. And so that's something to be curious about. Is it that I start falling asleep every time? My mind starts to open towards this that may be painful. So what am I resisting here? It's a classical reason why people fall asleep in meditation. But some people also have some physical issues that have other cures outside of classical Buddhist teachings, you know, that are other stories. In particular, the person who asked this question, I know it's a bit different story, so it's a larger response. I've already responded to that. Another thing you can do if you're falling asleep in meditation is to massage your fingers. And if you don't want to be asleep, because you may want to have a little sleep sitting up, or to massage your ears. And you can do this in a very quiet way without disturbing anyone. But this will stop you from sleeping. And when you feel like you're in a sleepy kind of mood, you could choose to do walking meditation. Because it's really difficult to sleep and do walking meditation at the same time. Hey? So this is a definite 100% guarantee wake you up. Otherwise, fall over. You can also go, okay, I'm really sleepy. So what is going to be the skillful way to meditate today is to do some contemplation on some reflection type of meditation, like I did last night, the last meditation, where you're more contemplating some teachings or something. And this can be a skillful way. So you're not going into sleepy, you're not going into big thinking, you're like reflecting on. Another way with sleepiness is to get up very quietly, to slip out, go to the bathroom and put some water on your face. So I hope that that answers these questions. And to see, to feel into a little bit, what is my intention here in this meditation session? What's my motivation? So intention and investigation. Okay. So we still have 25 minutes for some guidance. Maybe some very quiet kind of guidance. Of settling into your posture, breathing through your spine, breathing that energy, finding the right place for your spine. So maybe flexing it a bit from side to side and backwards and forwards to feel that aliveness in your spine. Energy. Feeling the breath coming in, traveling down, spreading, coming back out again, trying to stay aware of the effects even as it goes back out, all the way up. Out. But really not trying to make the breath a special way, but allowing the breath to be as it wants to be. So letting go of our control. And just following it, like following a good friend, holding their hand for a walk in the sunlight. feeling the air coming in at your nostrils, maybe touching different places as it goes in, down your body, the lower belly. Coming back out, where is it touching inside your body that you can feel? Feeling where there's any contractions or tightness in the body. Seeing if that's a posture thing. To open your shoulders a bit more, grow your spine, or bend your spine a bit towards the front. That helps the breath on its journey. Is it just relaxing the muscles in the lower belly? The diaphragm. And as we're breathing, following this journey of our breath, not hooked onto it, but very lightly holding its hand, not grabbing. What other parts of your body are coming into awareness? So through this breathing, how do you know you have a body? It's really about finding the right, attuned relationship to the breath. So we're not too close. We're still following it lightly. We're not creating a contracted or controlled state. Allowing our breath and our following of the breath to soften our body. To feel into that innate softness, that sensuousness. It's more like giving ourselves permission to slip into this. What's already here? So it's not an invention. Letting ourselves have just the softness of this moment, being with our breath, without the need to do anything more important, or fix anything, or be better at it, or anything. Just resting into this stillness, the quietness of this breath, effects on our body. A little bit like when we're doing walking meditation. When halfway through, you space out, go into some thoughts or something, and then there's the end of the path. reminds us, ah, come back. Come back to my body. Here we have the end of the breath. Ah, got distracted between the beginning and the bottom of the breath. Coming back. Breathing out. Just tasting the very softness of this breath as it touches the soft insides of your body. Really tasting that contact. Gentle against gentle. Meeting. Both of those mutually influencing each other. So the breath being softened by the soft insides. Insides being like massaged, soft breath. And always just allowing the breath to be long or short, big and wide or narrow, fast or slow, just letting it be its own rhythm. Each breath unique, completely different from the last one. gentle rise and drop of your belly or your rib cage. Lift your pain. I'm allowing our whole face and shoulders and neck to just soften into this breath. All tensions running into the ground, dissolving. As we come to the end of this sitting meditation, maybe without making too much of a cut into movement, just flowing on to the movement, to the walking meditation, staying in the same kind of atmosphere, attitude. So we're not creating two different worlds.